ordinarily on Good Friday, we would read the passion story of Jesus in its entirety, and every so often we'd take a pause and comment on the section of the passion story that had just been read. However, today I'm going to do something different. I'm going to take just one section of the passion story and comment on that. And this section of the passion story happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus and his disciples had the Passover meal together, and now Jesus takes them to this garden called Gethsemane. And I'll be reading from Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And with that, Judas arrives with the temple guards, and Jesus is arrested and will be tried and eventually crucified. Several years ago, I went with a group to Israel to do a tour of the Holy Lands. And the group that, or the company that organized the tour, and all of the people who had been on this tour ahead of me, all said the same thing, that this is going to be a transforming experience for you. And I believed them. And I couldn't wait to see what that transforming experience was going to be. So we get to Israel, and the first 3 days come and go, and the information was very interesting, it was very informative, but nothing transformative had happened to me. But then, on day 4, our tour guide took us to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he did his presentation, and then he encouraged us to take a few moments and walk around the Garden of Gethsemane in silence, but use our senses and to see if God is saying anything to us. So I walked about the garden, and I was using my sense of sight, sense of hearing, sense of touch, sense of smell, and nothing was coming to me. So I decided to use my sense of taste. In the Garden of Gethsemane, there are many, many olive trees, and at that particular time of year that we were there, the olive trees were full of olives, and they were good and ripe and ready to be picked. So I decided I wanted to find out what a real olive from the Garden of Gethsemane tasted like. So I pulled one off the tree, I popped it into my mouth, bit down, and it was the worst bitter taste I had ever experienced. It was the worst taste ever. And I tried everything I could to get that taste out of my mouth. I tried washing my mouth out with water several times. I tried spitting. I even popped in a piece of gum, and that just made it all the worse. And that's when Jesus spoke to me. Remember at verse 34, what Jesus says? "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Jesus was wishing that he could die. And Jesus spoke to me in that moment, using my sense of taste. He said, "Yes, Tim, my experience here in the garden was a very, very bitter experience. And what you experienced was just a small sample of that." I thought, okay, message received. What I didn't realize is that there was going to be a second part to the lesson. Verse 35 and 36 says this, that going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. You know, Jesus knelt in prayer. And oftentimes this is depicted of Jesus kneeling at a rock, a very large rock, with his eyes turned toward heaven and a beam of light coming down on him. Well, just across the alley from the Garden of Gethsemane is a place called the Church of All Nations. And the Church of All Nations houses the rock that Jesus knelt at when he prayed this prayer. And in fact, the high altar of the church is built over top of the rock, and there are kneeling benches all the way around this rock. You can kneel and touch the rock and pray. And so my turn came, and I knelt at the rock and placed my hand on that rock, and I remembered Jesus' prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. And as soon as I touched that rock, that horrible, bitter taste was gone. It just was gone. And that was the second part of the lesson. You see, the essence of Jesus' prayer was, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus again was speaking to me and said, yes, Tim, life will have lots and lots of bitter experiences, but that bitterness fades once you can say to God, thy will be done. And you know, for me, those were four very scary words to speak. I was scared to ask God for his will to be done. I always was wanting and praying for my will to get done. But that changed. That transformed me. I'm now able to say those four words without fear, without trepidation, without reservation. I can truly pray, thy will be done. Because that prayer, submitting to God's will, that is the remedy for bitterness. It relieves us from the burden of making a tough decision, and it gives us true freedom. And the reason why it gives us true freedom is because the next thing that's going to happen will only happen because of God's will. And God's will is always aimed in the direction of redemption. And redemption simply means to buy back that which was lost. To redeem something means to fix what is broken, to remove what is evil. You see, God's will is always aimed in the direction of redemption. And so, on this Good Friday, I want to encourage you to take a look in your heart and in your life and in your mind and see if there is some area where you're struggling. And then submit it to God's will and watch what happens. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your will is indeed good and righteous and always aimed at redemption. Teach our hearts to trust in your good will. Teach our hearts to be able to say in all situations, thy will be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.